First order of business is roll call. Jim Patrick here. Bill Brannigan?
Here.
Lee Hardy?
Here.
Bob Berman?
Here.
Jim Hasselman?
Here.
Gary East?
Here.
Braulio Escobar?
I'm here.
I am.
Okay. First up is approval of the minutes, approval of the Planning Commission regular session meeting minutes of January 10th, 2021.
Having read the minutes of the regular session of January 10th, 2022, and submitted a single correction to Sherry and with copies to everybody on the commission, I move we approve the minutes as corrected.
Seconded.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any more discussion or corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Anyone wishing to address the Planning Commission about anything not on the agenda tonight? Okay.
I don't get it.
Who is that?
Oh.
She is.
Jim? I don't know who that is. Action items. 4A is recommendations to City Council on South Beach Commercial Corridor Island Annexation Concept. If somebody like to make a motion that Derek outlined in his memorandum, go ahead, Bob.
I move that the Planning Commission recommend the City Council initiate annexation of unincorporated properties in South Beach that are surrounded by the Newport city limits. Properties identified on the Newport Comprehensive Plan map as industrial, being given an I-1 light industrial zoning designation, and those identified as residential being given an R-2 medium density, single family residential zoning designation, and public property being given a P-2 public parks designation.
I'll second the motion.
Hey, moved and second. Any discussion on the issue? Oops. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nay. Motion carries. Now, hey, Derek, have you got a copy of that script for doing Zoom meetings?
Oh, no. not handy. Why?
Huh?
Not handy. I can pull it up.
I can go look and see if I probably got one in my packet in the other room, but I forgot all about that. And I got to this point and went, oh, wait a second.
Okay. It's just going to take me a moment.
If you share the screen, Derek, then Jim could just read it.
Yeah, that's the plan. I just got to find it real quick.
Try this one more time.
Got it. Yeah.
One. Huh?
I got it. I just got to load it up here on the shared screen for you, okay?
Okay, this public hearing is being conducted utilizing the Zoom video conferencing platform Before we get started, I'd like to provide staff a moment to identify individuals that are participating virtually. I'd like to cover a few ground rules. You do the identification after I get done with this, right?
Yeah, we can break real quick. Hey, Sherry, okay. Have you had a chance to identify everybody who's dialed in at this point?
Yes, I have. I can read off who is in attendance currently. We have Chris Keene from Dangermond and Keene, Dan McRae, Curtis Landers, Erica Fra, I hope I'm saying that right, F-R-U-H, Emily DeHuft, and Jerry Herbage.
Thank you.
Okay. Individuals wishing to speak may raise their hand proper to use the raise hand feature, which is found by clicking our participant button. We found it works better if you just raise your hand in the picture if you've got pictures. Otherwise, Sherry's got to do it for me. I can't see the raise hands button. Please keep your microphone muted unless you're speaking. Press 6 to mute to unmute a landline. Also, spacebar works for those that are on computers. For persons participating by video or phone, the city can make the shared screen feature available to those who wish to make a presentation. Information shared with the Planning Commission in this manner is part of the record, and a copy of the materials we need provided to staff. Those persons who have elected to attend their hearing in person, the computer has been set up that may provide testimony using the video conference platform. Quasi-judicial and legislative land use public hearings. First one we have tonight is conditional use permit to allow the construction and operation of an animal shelter facility and storage at the subject property is located in a P1 public structure zone. This statement applies to all quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented towards requests being heard must be directed towards the applicable criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which seek beliefs to apply the decision. Failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. An issue that may be a basis for appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of record or at following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. Failure by the applicant to raise constitutional and other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such request is made, then the hearing may be continued to a date certain and a schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. At this time, I would ask planning commissioners to disclose any actual potential conflict of interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits. No? Anyone present that has an objection to the participation of any planning commission member or the commission as a whole, please raise their objection now. Nope. Planning commission may have the request for a participant on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain, provide for opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony related to the applicable criteria. Hearing will proceed in the following order, staff report, applicant's testimony, persons in favor, persons opposed, applicants rebuttal, record closes for public testimony, planning commission deliberation questions, a verbal decision, a final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. Okay, then that puts us down to staff report.
Thank you, Derek Tokos, Newport Community Development. Before I start with the staff report, I did want to acknowledge one piece of additional testimony that came in today. This is from the airport, City Newport Airport Committee. It was a letter from Lance Vanderbeck, Airport Director. It has been distributed to Planning Commission members. The letter effectively indicates that the Airport Committee has some concerns if it is the intent of the county to house larger animals at this location because of the potential impact that airport operations could have on those animals and vice versa because of the noise principally from airport operations. Their concern is that that's really not compatible with large animals. I would ask that the applicant address that as part of this process. They have a copy of this letter as well. I sent it over to them earlier today. That's dated January 24th. Everything else should have been in the packet materials that were posted previously. I'll begin to kind of go through the staff report here. I am not going to read it verbatim. That is not my practice, as the Planning Commission knows. I will touch on some of the key issues, and then I will spend a little bit of time specifically on the recommended conditions of approval. We do believe that this application satisfies the criteria, and that the commission can find that it satisfies the criteria, provided some of these conditions are imposed, and I'll speak to the reasoning for those. The application before you tonight is for a new animal shelter. It'd be a 12,000 plus or minus square foot facility. And in addition to the animal shelter, there would be two storage buildings that could be constructed. One at, I think, 4,000, the other at 6,000. So 10,000 square feet of general storage would also be constructed, along with associated parking, landscaping, and other appurtenances. This application is by Lincoln County. It's on property that is actually owned by the city of Newport and is on the airport property proper. We have entered into a memorandum of understanding. When I say we, I'm talking about the city council here, has entered into a memorandum of understanding with Lincoln County that sets out a process for potential eventual siting of an animal shelter at this location. I'll bring a map up shortly to show where it is on the airport property. But I did want to point out that that memorandum of understanding includes specific language saying that any action on this location is subject to conditional use approval, and that the county is responsible for obtaining that conditional use approval. We do have a draft lease area, and we actually have a draft lease agreement. The lease area is depicted on various drawings that are before you tonight. We did not include a copy of the lease agreement that's in draft form. We don't expect that lease agreement to be executed until this conditional use process is concluded and a final determination has been made on this conditional use application. The site is 5 acres located in the kind of the southwest corner of the airport property. I'm going to go ahead and bring that up on a shared screen. So you have a chance to take a look at that. So I included just in the packet, it's attachment N. This shows the site. It's all within what we call a P1 public structure zone. Typically, public uses, a wide range of public uses are permitted in that zone outright. Except in this case, you're dealing with a property that's within an airport development overlay, and that has further limitations, and I'll speak to those in a few minutes. The site is gradually slopes to the west, southwest. About half of it's cleared, has been maintained and mowed by the city over the years. The balance of it is vegetated with native trees and shrubbery. You do have wetlands immediately to the south that have formed and actually are kind of an extension of the drainage system for US 101 through here and tie in also to the natural drainages we have in this area. And you can kind of see where those wetlands are located on this map. This is in an area where we have the access would be provided by an existing paved driveway that you can see on this diagram. It is in areas it's 16 feet wide, and other areas a little bit narrower than that. The applicant is proposing to widen that to 22 feet in width as part of this application from the junction with the main airport access, which is off the screen to the north, to their driveway approach, which will be on their site plan, which I'll be bringing up here shortly. We do have water service in the area. That would be a service that's provided by the Seal Rock Water District. The line in blue that you see on this map actually is internal to the airport property. It is a 8-inch diameter line that ties to an airport master meter. It is likely that that's how they would have services, that they would connect to this. They would have their own kind of sub meter where we would know how much water they're using, but it would be fed off the master meter. Wastewater service would be provided by a shared septic system that we're looking to construct at the airport. And we would be landing that in between the two runways, and they would pump up to that. Our hope is to work out a development agreement with the county where they would install that on our behalf, and we would reimburse them for those costs that are above and beyond what they would incur in constructing a drain field proper on the 5-acre site. I'll go ahead and take this map down. I'm going to bring up their site plan and elevations. Okay, so what you're seeing now is a site plan and elevations. Again, you're seeing the same 5-acre lease area that we talked about. So here you have a little bit better view. You can see the main airport access. And so what I was talking about in terms of the driveway being widened, it would be along this corridor right through here. This property sits down below, if you've been out here, sits down below the elevation of the runway being up here. Your Coast Guard station is right up here, just off the map. But you can see, again, here it is. Here's the property in black. This is the Coast Guard station. This is the 2-20 runway, which has a visual approach, which I'll be talking about in a little bit. And so this is where it's located on the airport property. This is in an area on the airport property that's designated for non-aviation use, which means it's outside, the perimeter of the airport operations area proper. And under our 2018 airport master plan can be used for non-aviation purposes. What that means in our code, though, is that a public use such as an animal shelter could be permitted through a conditional use process. And there is one additional standard which has to do with it not creating a hazard to airport operations. Because the site's over 1 acre in size, the conditional use code requires that this go to Planning Commission and be approved through a public hearings process. And that's why you are meeting tonight to consider the application. There are four conditional use criteria. They're under NMC Chapter 14.34.050. The public facilities can adequately accommodate the proposed use. That would be the first one. The request complies with the requirements of the underlying zone or overlay zone. That the proposed use does not have an adverse impact greater than existing uses on nearby properties, or if so, that they can be ameliorated through the imposition of conditions of approval. And then the last is a proposed building or building modifications is consistent with the overall development character of the neighborhood. With regard to building size and height, considering both existing buildings and potential buildings allowable as uses permitted outright. Now, I'm not going to dive through the details of the various components of the animal shelter as proposed. I expect that the applicant will be doing that as part of their presentation, which will follow. But I do want to note that, as the site plans illustrate, you do have a plan view here showing where the facility would be located on the property, where their access point would be. These two are storage buildings here. This is the airport phase one of the animal shelter facility. Phase two of the animal shelter or future expansion is in a crosshatch on your plans. And then they did provide the elevation drawing showing what the animal shelter building would look like. And then it's a single story structure, as you can see. And then they also provided elevation drawings of typical storage building, which they'd be looking to construct. With respect to each of these approval criteria and, you know, that public facilities, for example, first one, public facilities can adequately accommodate the proposed use. The waste demands of this property are such that they can be handled as part of a septic system. As I mentioned, we're looking for that from them to connect to a common shared system so that we don't have too many septic systems on the airport property, because it does take up a lot of real estate. Water service will be provided by Seal Rock Water. The applicant put together a memo outlining their maximum daily usage needs. Seal Rock Water District has indicated that they can provide service. And there's a letter from the manager of the Seal Rock Water District in your packet as evidence of that. The traffic generation associated with this use is such that it's not going to generate or necessitate any improvements at 84th, the main access here at 84th and 101, where, as you know, we do have existing deceleration lanes for both northbound and southbound 101 traffic, which is more than adequate at this point to accommodate a facility of this size and nature. So I believe you do have the evidence that the public facilities can adequately accommodate the proposed use or uses. With respect to the requirements of the underlying zone or the overlay zone, the principal additional requirement was that they're not going to be creating any kind of hazard to airport operations. One of them has to do with making sure that there's nothing that's going to be constructed that's going to impact the approach. This is within the visual approach for airplanes using the 2-20 runway. However, that visual approach elevation is about 50 feet above basically where this driveway is and continues to climb as you extend this way. So it's well above the height of these structures, which single story structures is going to be below that 35 foot maximum height that they noted in their application. So we don't see any kind of visual obstruction being an issue here. The applicant understands that they cannot utilize highly reflective materials in their construction. There's a proposed condition of approval addressing that. And there's a condition in there also addressing lighting, which needs to be downward directed and shielded, again, to avoid any kind of glare for pilots that pilots have to deal with in the vicinity of the runway. So again, we believe that standard can be and has been addressed with the conditions I'll be speaking to. With respect to adverse impacts, we had one comment come in from a property owner. Their email's in your packet. They live about 1,000 feet to the southwest on residential property, on just on the west side of US 101. Their concern is that the noise not get worse in their mind. They're already dealing with, from their perspective, pretty significant background traffic from US 101 and the airport. They're concerned about the cumulative impact of throwing animals, particularly dog barking, on top of that. The applicant has provided site plans showing that they will soundproof the building. And so for purposes of animals that are inside the building, dogs, for example, that should mitigate that. But they will have animals. They have the kennels are exposed to the outside. They have a walking area that they've shown on their plan for animals. So there will be some noise attributed to this, but there's a pretty substantial distance between this facility and nearby residences, and quite a bit of vegetation, which provides a buffer between the facility and area residences. And so active monitoring of any kind of noise, or trying to gauge what the noise is now versus what the noise is in the future, I don't know that there's any condition that would be appropriate to impose at this point in time. Certainly, if there's a nuisance issue down the road, that can be dealt with through the city's nuisance code, but I don't know that that's going to happen here. I think there's quite a bit of buffer that provides distance and kind of vegetation buffer provides a little bit of a sound buffer to a point that's going to help in this case. And the background noise, frankly, is going to help too, because you know highway traffic is going to drown out some of that noise as well.
Emily, you'll have to hold your question until the public testimony area. Okay, thank you.
With respect to the specific conditions that we're recommending, I'm going to go through them each individually. We have 9 of them in the staff report that we would recommend that you impose. Some of them are conditions that you're quite familiar with. We've imposed them on all conditional use applications. You know, the first being, you know, that if an approval is granted by the Planning Commission, you're approving what's presented, you're not approving something else. And so they are bound by what they've submitted as the package that you would be approving. They want to do something different, and they're going to be coming back to this process. The second has to do with the applicant being responsible for constructing water and wastewater service to the proposed lease area as necessary to support their facility. And that this may include improvements that will be shared by or benefit other users, in which case applicants share the cost is to be limited to that which is roughly proportional to the impact of their project. The third gets at storm drainage. You know, they are responsible for managing stormwater on their property for a 24-hour storm event. There is a provision in there, and this gets in the code, that prohibits any individual stormwater facility that's like a pond, a detention pond or retention pond, from being over a quarter acre in size. The purpose of that is that they don't want it to attract a lot of birds, as birds and airplanes don't mix. And so there's plenty of area on this property, though, for them to kind of break up any kind of stormwater detention facilities, swales, so that no individual facility exceeds that size limitation. But that's noted in that condition of approval. The applicant is responsible for widening the driveway to 22 feet in width. And that is a sufficient width to meet the needs of emergency service providers and our public works department, who will have cause to come down this road from time to time. That a landscape plan needs to be included with the building permit application. It's very specific in terms of what they're planning, and that they need to be thinking about and ensuring that what they're planning at maturity is not going to exceed 50 feet in height, because then it gets into the visual approach. We don't want that. So just some thought to exactly how they landscape it, so that they don't have our planting tree species that are going to have to be dealt with down the road when they get much larger. The sixth condition is the one that gets at providing some details as part of their building permit application on the lighting and how the lighting's being shielded to meet the requirement that it be shielded and downward directed. Condition 7 gets at glare producing materials. We need to have enough information on the elevation drawings that come in for building permit to know that they're not going to have exposed metal that would be a glare issue on the exterior of the structure. And then they have asked that the commission set a phase 1 deadline and a phase 2 deadline for when they need to pull building permits. Typically a conditional use permit, you have to pull your building permits within 18 months of when you have a final approval from the city. They're fully prepared to do that for the 9,000 square foot animal shelter, phase 1. But they're not going to be in a position to do that for the second phase, which would be the additional 3,000 square feet for the animal shelter or the storage buildings. And so they're asking that the Planning Commission for the phase 2 give them 5 years within which to pull the building permits for that work. And so that's what's outlined in condition 8. And then condition 9 is one that we've imposed on a broad range of conditional use permits. And it's just that they are responsible for complying with applicable building codes, fire codes, and other public safety codes that need to be addressed, assuming they get a conditional use approval and they move forward with their building permitting. So that's the extent of my presentation. If you
have any questions of staff, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions from the Planning Commission members?
Yeah. Derek, I'm looking at that the site plan. Yeah, attachment. Well, no, not attachment in. The site. Wow. A lot of attachments here.
There were quite a few. Yeah, just let me know and I'll
there
bring it
is.
Up.
Okay. So I'm looking at attachment H, the site plan again, the one you just had with the aerial photograph and then the overall. Can you point out on there where this septic system is going to be developed and explain a little bit more about exactly how that's going to work? There's a reference in the your analysis to treatment. And I don't understand quite how treatment works with a septic system, but I've never had a septic system. So, but can you talk about that wastewater disposal?
Sure. So I trust you can see the map here and you can see the runways in outline form here where my cursor is.
Yeah.
We have about, I want to say 17 acres in here. It's quite a bit that's in between the two runways. And, you know, a septic system subsurface. We've already had conversations with the FAA. They're not concerned about the subsurface stuff. And our soil conditions are such that it appears that it's going to be suitable for the kind of septic system we're talking about. What we're talking about is a large septic system, which means you have a tank that you know your effluent is directed to, and then it's treated with bacteria. I'm no expert on this. I'll be candid. And then eventually goes out in a leach field, which is your treated water, which then infiltrates into the ground. In this case, your septic system is going to be upslope of their property. Therefore, they're going to have to pump the effluent up there. Now, you do have a memo in the packet that deals with they'll also be doing their own separate treatment of animal waste and screening of that. And I'll let them speak to that more specifically before it gets into the septic system. And that's just because of the nature of their use and the large amount of waste they're dealing with, particularly from dogs. But cats too. So, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. And so the sizing of it, it's going to be a very large septic system, but 17 acres is a lot of room for us to work with.
And who operates that septic system?
That would be a city. It'd be a shared system that would be operated and maintained by the city. And we'll have to work through the details, not just for the animal shelter, but for others who would be connecting to it in terms of the pricing and all that. That's something to be determined still in terms of cost, because there's a cost contribution there. But we'll work through that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Bill. Go ahead.
I don't know if Derek knows. Runway 2200, which is going to kind of be the closest runway to the proposed animal shelter. Do you know what usage that runway gets? The main runway is not that one. I don't have it.
No, the instrument approach is the main runway, which is the north-south runway.
North-south. Right. Do we know how much usage that the visual gets?
Not offhand,
you know,
I don't.
I mean, we got a lot of pipe. We got a lot of single engine Piper Cubs out there, which frankly make no noise whatsoever. So from a noise abatement perspective, we're only looking at multi engine, predominantly jets and the Coast Guard Hilo. But you know, we don't get that many jets in here. But I mean, there is a concern that one person had about the noise. And so I was trying to think, because I got dog barking together with additional noise coming in off that particular runway, because, you know, some low flying jets could be spooking a lot of dogs, which would cause excessive barking.
Mm-hmm. You might share that question for the applicant. I'm sure they put some thought to that one. They might be in a better position to respond.
Hey, okay. Any other questions for Derek before we start taking testimony?
For the applicant's presentation?
Yeah. Okay. Hearing none, then we'll go ahead and start the applicant's presentation and who is going to take that first. Chris, go ahead.
Sure, thanks. My name is Chris Keene. I am the architect working with the county on this project. And Derek's actually done a pretty nice job of stealing my thunder with presenting the project. Maybe I'll just kind of back up a little bit and tell you about our process. We've been working with shelter staff. We've had a number of meetings with different stakeholders, including the Humane Society and Focus, who it looks like we've got some members here with us tonight. Without going line by line through our presentation, I think a couple of things to add to what Derek has described. Just so you know, the first phase of this facility is, you know, somewhere around 9,000 square feet at the moment. It has space for 24 dogs in kennels and 59 cats. And that is based on a pretty deep dive we did collecting data through staff and the history of the shelters used in the county. We're working with a shelter planner actually out of Virginia who has done dozens of similar facilities across the country, who has done, I think, the bulk of the figuring in terms of helping us program this facility, obviously with the help of staff. The bulk of the facility is dedicated to housing those animals and caring for those animals. There are spaces included in the facility for, you know, required health and emergency emergency care of the animals. There is a sally port associated with it that allows the sheriff's department to bring in animals in a safe way and secure way. There are areas for quarantine and observation. What we know is one of the main issues in the shelters is maintaining a safe and healthy environment for the animals and for the staff as well. And so great care is being taken into thinking about things like the mechanical systems and the, we talked a little bit about, Derek brought up the issue of animal waste, how that's addressed. We're lucky to have the expertise of some really great consultants helping us work with that. But ultimately, anything that comes out of this building will enter into a settling tank before it is put out into the sewer that we've been discussing here. Let's see, the shelter will be staffed 7 days a week. There's three basic private offices within it and a reception desk for staff. There will be two entry points, primary entry points for the public. And that is because typically we like to separate those coming to the shelter for adoption purposes and those coming to the shelter for surrendering animals. So the building will be configured to kind of allow that to happen. There is room for volunteers, break rooms, things like that. But I would say the vast majority of the facility is really what one might consider back of house space for the caring and keeping of animals. As Derek mentioned, the facility is planned as a single story. We are interested in keeping it low to the ground, both for the reasons that the airport requires, but also we're looking at using the building to kind of create a bit of a weather break for the animals as well. That's why you see in the site plan a kind of L-shaped facility that is got its, let's say, its wall to the weather that comes from the southwest. Let's see, what else am I forgetting? Oh, included in this, as you see, is 10,000 square feet of storage, as Derek mentioned. That is not intended to be built in the first phase, but it is a desire on the part of the county for that storage space. You know, we've calculated the required parking, bicycle parking, all of these items you'll see on the site plan document, and they meet or exceed the requirements from the standpoint of the code. guess we're a little early in the process, so we don't have a fully developed and designed facility. So the elevations that we've presented you with and the floor plan we've presented you with, we think is very close to where we're going to end up, but there will be some minor adjustments as we develop the project. But really, we recognize that we're not going to violate any of the height envelopes that we're looking at. We're looking at a building that's considerably less than the 35 feet allowable. And as Derek said, our intention is to use materials that are not only kind of low glare and reflectivity, but are suitable for the marine environment, something that our office has a fair amount of experience with. The only other thing I'll mention, there is a dog walking path that we're showing on the site plan as well. And that is intended for staff members to be able to walk a dog and exercise that dog. It won't be an evening activity. This is kind of a daytime activity as well. I think really that's all I have, unless there are specific questions you guys would like me to try to address. I did, Derek, see the letter from the airport committee today. I guess I wanted to point out, though we show in our narrative that there is the possibility for large animals to be on the site, it is really intended to be a facility for small animals only. Any horses or large animals that end up on the site would only be there in an emergency situation and there temporarily. It's not the intention of this project to be a place for keeping or caring for large animals. So if that is our kind of first response to that letter we received from the airport today, but certainly we're willing to talk with them to make sure we're making them comfortable with our plans.
Hey, Jim, you had a question? You're muted.
There, I got it. Okay. I'm curious about the retention ponds and whether they're calculated on the entire build out.
Yes.
And then I am interested in knowing how deep they may be. I don't know the plans for the Humane Society, but they often have people who come out to exercise the animals during daylight. And I wouldn't want kids at risk because they got this big space to run around in and what have you. Ponds are always an attractant. So do these get fenced off or are they very deep or?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll answer that as best I can. I'm not a civil engineer. We do have a great one on the team. The calculation for those retention ponds is based on the full development, full paving, you know, of both phases. And I think, and I have to look back in our document, it's somewhere in the area of 3,000 square feet of stormwater basin for the entire site, for the entire buildup. When we've done these in the past, often we'll take up a lot of that, even just in the parking lot median, right? So the intention is not to create a big pond or site feature. And I think to Derek's earlier point, we're going to want to kind of break these things up in any event. So I can't give you a number on the depth. I certainly could get that for you, but I don't see this as something that's going to need a rail or a guard around it. It'll be generally treated as a bioswale.
Well, I was primarily interested in an adverse structure kind of thing. These kinds of features often can produce an unexpected consequence. So liability, stuff like that. So I just wanted to have a feeling for the safety involved in these retention ponds. Thank you.
Okay, Bill, you had a question?
You're muted, Bill.
Yeah, I know. In the process to
find that, you know, nowadays there's a more modern septic system than the ones where you have the big concrete systems where you want to say they kind of have a churn in there. So as the effluent gets in there and it settles down, it actually kind of which helps break that stuff down even more and provides better opportunity for the bacteria to do its magic before the stuff goes out. And, you know, the old one, it'll at some point it fills up and then you got to have the thing pumped. But with a lot of the new systems, they're a lot cleaner and you don't have quite that problem. Do you know if that's what we're going to have or it's too early to say?
I think there's going to be some combination of working with the larger system here, but I guess from the building's use standpoint, and you may have seen this in the document, the because of the animal hair issue, all of these facilities really need that kind of settling tank just to keep the hair from getting into the system. So, you know, especially if we've got a pump, up to the large field. I think it's a little early to say much, at least from my perspective, about what the design of that system is, except to say that it's something we're aware of as an issue, and we'll be working with our consultant team and the larger team who's involved in the airport drain field.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm curious. I know there's a condition about the landscape plan, but it's a little unclear from your site drawing whether you're planning to, or just how what percentage of those trees that abut the highway you're planning to cut down. And implied in my question is a suggestion that maybe you don't, that line of trees might be a really nice buffer to have between the highway and the facility. Any comment on that?
Well, I'll say in the phase one, first phase of the project for the shelter itself, the intention is to basically completely stay out of those trees with the exception of the walking path that we're showing. So the site is about 50-50 covered with trees and not covered with trees. Storage needs that the county is exploring that we're showing there are the areas that end up in the trees themselves. And I think the goal would be to do as little tree removal as possible in order to meet those needs.
Good.
Okay, any more questions for Chris? Okay, thank you. Any other proponents that would like to care to testify? Are you seeing anything, Sherry? I'm not seeing anybody raising their hand or anything.
Looks like Dan McCray is.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me? I think I'm unmuted now.
Yeah, you're muted now. So
yeah, I'm not sure if I'm in the right section of this. I just had some comments on this and a couple of concerns. Is now the time or do I need to, is there a different time? I'm a little unfamiliar.
No, this works. We have to make it up as we go on these Zoom things. So go ahead.
Okay. So here's a couple of things that I have concerns about. The noise would be one for me because I just built a very expensive hangar there. So that's, but you know, I love dogs, so I can probably get past that. But a couple of the other things, I'm real familiar with this airport and how this kind of, what this runway does and doesn't get used for. And because I'm there 8 hours a day and my hangar's right at that runway and it's probably the preferred runway that I use because it's right outside my door. My safety concern is, I've done a lot of flying commercially. We used to do spray plane flying, and you have to be super, super careful when you're doing that. If you get anywhere near livestock, horses especially, we've had situations where you'll come over a field and, you know, if there's a horse around there, we've had them bolt. They'll run full speed ahead into the fences. You know, we've had them get killed doing it. We've had them get seriously injured. So even to have large animals there on a short period, to me, is a bad idea. If you have somebody there and they're hanging onto a horse, or they're working with it, or it's already stressed or whatever, the Coast Guard helicopter doesn't go all the way out 99% of the time to those runways. It takes off from that ramp area that you see in that picture, that's right kind of a little bit past the fuel area. And depending on what the wind's doing, they'll take off north or south, but they'll go right over top of that, which is next to my hangar. And I don't know if you guys have spent much time around that, but that thing rattles my whole building when it goes over. So if you have large animals there, just in my experience, you're going to have a problem, and the animal's going to get hurt, or whoever's handling the animal may likely get hurt. That's kind of, you know, safety, you know, for one thing. You're also, I think you're affecting some of the safety of the pilots and the employees as well. You're proposing, and I'm sorry I wasn't sooner in on this. I know I'm kind of coming to this late, but it's because I didn't live here and I didn't know if this was kind of in the planning stages and where exactly where they were building and what they were doing. So I apologize for that. But as far as safety for the employees, you're talking about building a facility right off of the approach and departure end of a runway. And it is common to build industrial sites and do different things around airports, but you don't typically build something right off the end of a runway. In the event of an engine out or a failure or pilot error or any kind of thing, it's very common for airplanes to either undershoot or overshoot a runway. It happens all the time. And now you're putting employees in a building and lining them up with the runway. You know, if you depart off that runway and the engine quits, you know, they don't have this huge glide thing. It's going to hit the ground right there. And so you've taken away safety of the pilots, because there's a big field there right now. I would have a concern, you know, as a pilot, you know, that, I mean, I've overfly that field all the time. And now you've taken that away. And I would have a concern for the people that are working in that building that may not understand that they aren't on the downwind of this thing. They are head on right into the end of a runway. That's just not, you know, even if you can get the FAA to approve it, which apparently maybe they don't care. I don't know. It's just not, in my opinion, a very good idea to do that. The other thing that large animals bring, and if you, and I don't know, again, you know, I always know that, you know, once you say, well, we're not going to do it, or we're only going to do it a little bit, and then the, you know, the camel gets his nose in the tent, then pretty soon you have more and more and more. Whenever you have large animals and you have the types of feed that they eat and the grains and the this and the that, and then you have any of that manure or any of that stuff, you create birds, you know? And so now off the end of the runway, we have the potential for creating birds. So I those were just my concerns looking at this. So for what it's worth, you know, I mean, I know you guys are pretty deep into this and you're going to do it anyways, but now I can tell you, I told you so, you know, I guess that's all I've got in this. So I don't know if you have any questions or, you know, any comments or anything like that, but thank you for taking the time to listen to me.
Hey, get unmuted here. Thank you. Any questions for Dan? Okay. Any other? Go ahead, Bob.
I do have a brief question. Dan, you fly there regularly. Do you come in contact or have concerns about the elk?
No, the elk I don't see. I do see them, but they scurry away quite a bit. But again, we're not fencing the elk, and we're not trying to, you know, I never tried to put my arms around one and hang on when the helicopter went over it, you know. And the other thing too about animals, and especially elk, because I ran into this when I lived in Astoria too. We had a big problem with elk. Elk tend to get desensitized to this when they, because they live pretty much right in that airport area. So over time, they just, you know, they were born there and they just lived around it. So they do get desensitized. And horses will too, and everything, you know, a lot of things will, but, you know, they don't start out that way. You know, they're, you know, if you had a horse and it was around airplanes its whole life, and, you know, you had maybe a plane you landed in the pasture or whatever, eventually that horse would get used to that. But these are animals that are, you know, already going to be stressed. And you're bringing them there, you know, it just, like I said, in my experience, I've seen where these horses have just run right into the fences. They've been killed. You know, we always met with the owners and all the surrounding property owners to try to make sure we didn't have any livestock in those areas when doing the spray operations. And that helicopter is a whole lot more of a machine than a single engine spray plane, as far as noise goes and the type of sounds it puts off.
Thank you, Dan.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Dan, your concern about some kind of error and having, aircraft potentially come into contact with this building. I'm not a pilot. I don't understand airport operations in the slightest, but I am right now looking at an aerial view through Google Maps. And it looks to me like the end of that runway where the little triangles are, or the little arrows, is just very close to where the two runways cross, and that there's a very substantial distance between that point and what you would consider the end of the runway, or what their site plan shows as the end of the runway. So is that actually a potentially active used in an emergency situation?
Is it the runway is used all the time? Yes. Now, it has what's called a displaced threshold, which is, I'm not looking at what you're looking at.
It does
have a displaced threshold. But what happens is, you know, when an aircraft departs, if it does have, and I've seen, you know, if it does have an engine out, the airplane's already slow and it's low. It doesn't have a lot of energy like it would say in a cruise flight where it's moving along in level flight. So you don't have a lot of energy to do a lot with. And actually, you're trained as a pilot too. You're trained to always crash straight ahead no matter what's there, because they don't want you, you know, making big maneuvers and stalling the airplane and spinning it. So if you look at any of the training literature, you always trim the plane for best speed and then crash straight ahead. Thank you. I do have that. Let me.
I was just concerned. I shared the screen. It looks to me like the end of the runway is here, and that this is really
that,
more of a taxiway.
The end of the runway, correct?
Yeah. Bob, can I'll go ahead just so that we don't create stuff that we have to now create in the record.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
I will bring up a map that's already in the record that shows this, although we do have aerial imagery that already has some of this stuff already. I just want to be careful not to be expanding the record, not having copies of what's being displayed. But I'll bring up a map that's in the record that shows the end of the runway here real quick. This is the inner approach on that runway. And here's the number two that you were showing on the aerial there.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this appear, you know, you got your runway protection zone, which is right where my cursor is, where you see the airplanes here. This is the area, you know, that regulatory wise, the FAA has the strictest rules on. This doesn't extend, you know, beyond the area of airport operations. The area, what we're talking about, which is in the visual approach area, is just beyond that. And the visual approach area in this area, and which is a visual approach, we have them, you know, for both runways. the FAA's looked at this very carefully as part of the airport master plan and believes that this is an area that's suitable for non-aviation related development. Excuse me, because it's removed enough from that runway protection zone. If we were to try to strictly prohibit uses within the visual approach and the instrument approach on these two runways, we'd be picking up a whole lot of privately owned property within our jurisdiction. You inevitably have development within approach areas. It's that runway protection zone that's more strictly regulated, but that's right in the immediate area of airport operations where we have taxiways and hangars.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Do we have any other proponents that wish to testify? Do we have any opponents that wish to testify? Okay, then I'll give it back to Chris for rebuttal.
Oh, sorry,
didn't Emily want to talk at one point and you told Derek told her to wait?
She did have her hand up, but yeah, go ahead.
Not the public portion yet?
This is the public portion. This is where you speak. So go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. A great deal of the recent discussion has been about the question that I had. I hadn't noticed it before, but when I looked at the schematics presented tonight, I noticed that the shelter building is smack at the end of a runway that's pointing right at it. And that freaked me out. And I wondered whether planes mostly, land going northeast on that runway or coming, the other direction, or whether they take off in one way or the other way or both. As Mr. McRae said, if a plane has just lifted off and he's right over the shelter and conks out, wouldn't he drop right on the shelter? It just scared me to have the runway pointing straight at that building with no way out if there's a horrible catastrophe. I don't know what you do about that at this point, other than maybe reroute, turn things around so airplanes go the other way, or I don't know what's possible, or whether my fears are, so to speak, grounded.
I'm not sure who would have the answer to that question, but any other comments from anybody?
I had another question, but I don't even know if this is the right group.
Yes, go ahead. If you got say so.
What I know so far about the process is just what has been shared with the general public pretty much until these stakeholder meetings began a few months ago. But what I was hearing very early in the process when the county was talking to the city of Newport about using the airport property, what I was hearing back then indicated that there would be virtually no monthly cost, no significant lease cost, no significant monthly rental involved. And then as the lease agreement actually got drawn up, it seemed that suddenly there is going to be a very substantial monthly payment from the county to the city for the use of this property. And I just would be curious to know how that change came about.
Derek, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to speak to it as best I can. One, I just want to note that is not actually a matter that's before the Planning Commission in terms of what the lease, value is or not, but I'm happy to share what I do know. the City Council has never taken the approach on this, to my knowledge, that they would make a lease available at no cost or almost no cost to the county. there was a discussion at one point whether or not the city would be willing to sell the 5 acres as opposed to do a long-term lease. And the preference from our policymaking body was to do a long-term lease. Mm-hmm. And then we went through the process of actually having a licensed appraiser prepare and take a look at that to come up with what an appropriate lease rate would be over time. And so that's how we landed on a specific figure is a fair market lease rate for that based on the appraiser's recommendation, excuse me. We haven't entirely concluded that discussion with the county because that'll happen assuming this gets approved, that would happen when there's an actual lease agreement that's executed and has to go before the city council.
So it was always a market rate calculation, and there was never real serious consideration of like $1 a year.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Chair, this is Jerry Herbage. Could I speak briefly?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm an assistant county counsel by way of background, and I'd been county counsel for Curry County for a good part of 30 years, and now I've been with Lincoln County going on 6 years. And I do have a lot of experience in land use in both Curry County and in Lincoln County. I've been involved in matters involving land use, the Planning Commission, Board of Commissioners, and so on. So I'm kind of generally familiar with those things. And what I want to say in support of this project is that in all the years that I've been doing land use, this is one of the most professional approaches I've seen to a conditional use application. The county has spent considerable amounts of money, resources in collaborating and in working with Mr. Keen, the architect, with animal shelter people, including Bill Daggett, with their team of engineers and so on. There's been an awful lot of work and thought into this project, including many of the considerations that have been brought up tonight. I think that from our standpoint, we agree with the staff report, which recommends approval. I think it's significant that this area is designated as an area available for non-aeronautical uses and not opposed by the Department of Aviation. They are the experts. I think that that's important. Although it's not a matter of this application, Wayne Belmont, former county counsel, has been working on the lease aspect, and there may have been some confusion, but from my understanding, has never been considered that it would be $1 a month or $1 a year or something. You know, the county is prepared to take care of its responsibilities for the lease. The county is prepared to take care of all aspects. I think the county has been very responsible about this. As I say, it's been done very professionally. We've been working with staff at Dairy Cocos. We appreciate the cooperation. And in regards to the large animal question, so that may be something that you might want to think about. Look, it's not the major purpose at all to ever have large animals out there. It was written into the application that there was a desire to have large animals to be out there if there was an emergency. Emergency may never happen within the life of this conditional use permit, or it could happen. But if that was a major problem, it's County Council Kristen Ewell. She's the county council now, and I think her position was, if that's a deal breaker, we can find other places. The sheriff is here. He's part of this call. And I want to say that the sheriff, along with the team of architects and engineers and the outside people that we've been coordinating, have put so much effort into this. And yes, the sheriff has put in a lot of effort. And I think if he has some say about this, I would like to hear from the sheriff on the issue of large animals. But that is just almost like, you know, the desire was, okay, if something really bad happened, a major tsunami event, and or like the fire that happened, and it's once in a several years thing, it'd be a good thing if we had that as an option, but I don't think that's meant to be a deal breaker at all, and I'd like to hear from the sheriff on that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Jerry before I call on Sheriff Landers?
And thank you very much.
Okay, seeing none, Sheriff?
Thank you, Chair Patrick. Curtis Landers, Lincoln County Sheriff, and Lincoln County, the Sheriff's Office does oversee the animal shelter. That portion with the large animals, just to help with some of the concern on that, because we definitely understand noise and what it can cause with a large animal and frightening. And we don't want we don't want large animals to hurt themselves. We don't want large animals to get loose and run on runways and cause all kinds of problems that we could imagine with that also. It really was put in there as a really an extreme emergency situation, as Council Herbage mentioned. One example was the wildfires. I can talk about that as we had wildfires up in North County. We had to move out a large number of large animals. And really the current animal shelter, the temporary location where it is over by the Commons area, it was really a staging ground there. When large animals came in, we usually utilize our sheriff's posse. They're really a lot better capable of caring for large animals in needs like this. We just wanted to make sure that there was a possibility that large animals could be there. But I would have to say it'd be extremely rare. Our animal shelter staff isn't even, as well trained in large animals as a lot of our other members in the community that we would use to foster them in events like this. It's really for, your cats, dogs, small animals that will be inside a facility most of the time and not for large animals. So, and I'm also happy to try to answer any other questions you may have.
Any questions to Sheriff Landers? Okay. Any other proponents, anyone else wishing to testify before I turn it over to Chris for rebuttal?
I would just like to say that I too have confidence in the expertise that has been brought to bear on this, and I'm just glad to see it moving forward.
Okay, thank you. All right. Seeing no other comments, Chris? Your rebuttal?
Forgive me, I'm a little new to this process. I just want to kind of echo what Mr. Herbage just said. We've got a pretty great team here working hard and with our stakeholders and the county and the sheriff's office. And we are early in the process, and I think I would say that it's a pretty collaborative team willing to address items if they come up and as they come up. The large animal one is something that kind of came to us this afternoon for the first time, but I think we've already had some conversations internally. And as Mr. Herbage said, I think that is really not the prime purpose for this facility. So if it becomes a real issue, we're willing to work with the city and stakeholders to kind of resolve that a different way. We recognize this is a much needed facility in the county. It's been a long time coming. We've come into this project as architects many years into work that has been done by others to try to make this happen. We're very excited about the prospect of being involved and finally getting this done for the county.
Okay, any questions for Chris before I close the hearing? All right, we're gonna close the hearing and we'll begin our deliberations with Jared.
Well, I think it's a great idea that we have that facility. I think there's some valid points about, you know, safety with aircraft that do end up in an emergency situation. Wouldn't mind hearing from some other pilots, maybe some additional input just to get their response as far as safety on that. But other than that, the facility is needed. So I think we should at least go forward with it, get some more public input, kind of just see where it all goes.
Braulio? You're muted, Braulio.
I'm in favor of the proposal. I thought the two issues that were raised by the
Braulio, you're back to a duck voice. You might want to exit out and come back real quick.
No, I'll pass them out. Can you give that to another commissioner?
Okay, yeah, I couldn't even hear what that last with the last thing you said. I couldn't make it out.
All right, thank you.
Bob?
Yeah, I too recognize that this is a sorely needed facility, and it's a shame we let the old one go as long as we did before we took steps. My two concerns are the large animal thing, and I'd like to propose that we add another condition to the conditional use that basically prohibits large animals except during a government declared emergency, state, city, or county. And I think that would put a lot of minds at ease, but would still allow that flexibility if we did have that kind of emergency. And the runway thing, it bothers me looking at the diagram. It's almost like a big arrow pointing at that building. But if the FAA and the State Aviation Authority says it's okay to build commercial structures in there, then it's far beyond my level of expertise to object to that. So I'm in favor of proceeding with the one additional condition.
Jim?
Well, I've been against the location of this shelter ever since they selected the airport. Animal shelters are a very stressful situation for any animal that's in it. And to place them on an airport where the unexpected noise levels of even prop planes passing overhead at low altitudes or jets, which we've been told will become more and more common at the airport. Those kinds of noises are disruptive to not just large animals. That's silly to think that's just what goes on there. But cats and dogs are often terrorized by those noises. So I really have to question, I shouldn't question, but I should call attention to the decision that decision makers have made to even put it at the airport. I think that was very poor. However, a number of people in the community know how I support FOCA's pick of the litter and the animal shelter. We need it. If that's the only place the city and a county could find to place it, I'll go along with it. But boy, I really think there could have been some better thinking down the way. Or maybe they should live in a kennel and have jets pass over for a few weeks. I don't know. I'll go along with it, but I'm disappointed.
Bill?
There we go. I don't see any issues, frankly, with it. As far as the and the fireworks, that spooks dogs and cats a lot more than helicopters and airplanes. And you know, the city, it would be nice if the airport ever really developed, but I just don't see it developing that much. And frankly, you know, as far as bringing in loud airplanes, which are jets, the runways are too short for that stuff. Take the 200 runway. It's not long enough to accommodate, maybe in the future, but right now it probably isn't. You know, I mean, I flew for the Navy and clocked over 1,000 hours in real noise machines. animals can get spooked, but, I just don't think it's going to be that noisy. And as far as large animals are concerned, what Bob said is probably true. I do know some of the animal handlers that work for the city, and they live out on the Siletz area and out and down Logsdon Road, and they all got barns, and they're very into animals. And I would suspect, rather than trying to bring a horse into the city of Newport, we would be taking them out to out down Logsdon, where these people do have lots of horses and barns, and they would be more than willing to keep those animals until they can get moved back to their home. So I don't really see the large animal thing really being an issue. It's not like we're in the city of Portland where we don't have property close by. As far as the aircraft emergencies, yeah, they could happen, but frankly, we have more emergencies than with automobiles and trucks than we have with airplanes, which statistically are pretty safe. I can't remember the last time we had an emergency. I mean, if the pilots follow, the owners of the aircraft follow the rules of getting their planes inspected by qualified mechanics and on a timely fashion and get a FAA certification on it, it's not going to crash very often. It would be a strange thing. It's just when we kind of have people not following the rules, but I mean, that is possible. So in hindsight, overall, I'm all for it and think that whatever the issues are can be easily ameliorated.
You talking to me?
Yes. Go ahead.
I don't think it's the best location to put animals, whether they're large or small. Yes, you're going to have a somewhat soundproof building, which will muffle some of the noise. But as long as you've got the animals outside, I really think it's going to be stressful for animals that are already under stress for being there anyway. I don't know if there was any effort to find an alternative location that's a little further out, perhaps. But there's a lot of rural property that's not necessarily being logged. And I don't know if I can think of a couple of different areas where you might do some reaching out to see if those property owners would be receptive to providing an alternative space. But I know that's not going to be easy. But yeah, I'm real uncomfortable with putting animals in that location, given all of the discussion regarding not only just plane failure potential, which I don't think that's huge, but just the impact of noise and the proximity to other animals that may not get along, just add another stress. So I would go for looking for a better location.
And we seem to have lost Braulio.
Yeah, he tried to dial back in, but wasn't able to do so.
Then it's down to me. Couple of things. I like Bob's suggestion for declared emergency use only. I would be in favor of adding that as a condition. The noise is going to be a problem there, but like I said, most of the time they're going to be inside. I don't see it being a problem. I live underneath the approach to the hospital that every time Life Flight comes in. So, and it doesn't appear to annoy my dog a whole heck of a lot. So I think helicopters are probably worse for noise than airplanes. And airplanes are pretty quiet, at least prop planes. Jets are fairly noisy, but I, they cross over the top of me when they're landing, when the wind's out of the south. So I'm on the approach on that one too. So, and because it's on the Iowa, I thought that was part of the air runway, and I didn't realize that the runway didn't start until way farther out. That's actually a taxiway we're looking at. Then I ceased to have a whole lot of problems with it, not to mention that they're tucked down. Top of their roof is probably 20 feet underneath the runway. So if they're planning on crashing there, they're making a bad choice. Anyway, that's my thoughts on it. And I, it may not be the greatest location, but it's the location we got and that's available and that we can work with. They spent a lot of time looking for a place long before they got to this one. So I'm kind of in favor of it. So any more discussion or comments from anybody? I'm sorry, ma'am. You can't speak now. The hearing's closed. Any comments from the commissioners? Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve for the permit with the conditions that Derek has gone through, plus Bob's recommendation to add the further condition in there. I guess that says large animals will not be moved to the facility unless the government declares an emergency.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any more discussion on the issue? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay.
Nay.
And that was an aye from you, James. You were muted at the time, so.
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right. Then the motion passes. And Derek, you'll make a final order and bring it back to the next meeting?
That's correct. I'll update the findings to put some analysis in there to support the additional condition, and we'll add the additional condition you've requested.
Okay. Is there any new business or unfinished business or director comments?
I didn't have anything further tonight.
Okay. Is there nothing else then? We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Good night, all.